Brother Galen and I have been friends for years, and we was in a little restaurant down in South Louisiana holding a meeting, and Brother John Mitchell was asked. After the service, we went over there, and that's just what I'm preaching on tonight, so I got to tell this story, you know. And it was a little bean-headed, demon-possessed Pentecostal brother there. Brother Galen, a little ex-prize fighter, a street preacher all these years, and Galen ain't going to hit nobody or hurt nobody. He just liked preaching, and so he went out on the parking lot. I knew he was handing out tracts, and people were coming out. He didn't know who these people were, and so he handed one of these young ladies a tract. This fella just went mad. He went mad. And wasn't no use him to get mad. Little demon possessed, demon headed thing. Wasn't nothing to do about it. And he's right up against Galen, and he's saying something. And Brother John Mitchell kind of felt like it would probably be time to stop it. And so Brother John laid his hand on him and said, "Sir, I believe that's enough." He said, "We're fixing to have some serious trouble here." John, 6'3", big ass in the rain, and this little guy about 5'4", weighed 120 pounds in the rain in Louisiana. It rained a long time. And so he said, "Bless God," he said, "y'all are all Catholics. You don't know nothing about being filled with the Holy Ghost in you, just when he's a rage." And he had another guy there with him. He weighed about 250 pounds, and he bounced out there, and he went into a rage. So I just called all the great master people. I said, "Everybody, come out here and look at these wonderful Christians here, so filled with the Spirit of God. Everybody come. I just stood right out there in the parking lot. I want everybody to see those wonderful, wonderful, broken hearted, spirit-filled, crazy Pentecostals. Amen. I want to see them. Amen. Amen. So, all right, I just thought I'd tell that tonight. But they decided that they would just drive on, which was probably the best. And he was telling people Galen what he was going to do. And I said, "If Galen hits him with that right hand, we'd be picking him up for a week." Amen. But Galen, he wasn't going to do that. He's a Christian gentleman, unless he had to. All right. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 24, please. Look, guys, just a verse of scripture here. Somebody, please get me a bucket of water, would you? Amen. I'll tell you, it's dry out there in Texas. It really is. I was talking to a bullfighter got there last week. He said he's 7-year-old and couldn't swim. It's dry. It's dry. It gets that dry, it's dry. Amen. Thank you, sis. Amen. All right. In our Bible, most of you know in this 24th chapter how that the servant went down there to get Isaac a wife. And then you know, after he had talked to her and give her the jewels in verse 53 and the silver and the gold and the raiment and her brother and all these precious things, and her brother said, you know, in verse 50 that this thing proceeded from the Lord. And just go ahead. Everything is wonderful. You just go ahead. God's in this. You go ahead. And so this young lady got ready to go at verse 55, and her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days." Now, I want you to notice this. They said that God's in it. Yeah, the Lord's in it, and we see God moving in it. But let's wait a minute now. And at least 10, you know, they said just a few days. Now it's 10 days. Amen. And that she shall go. And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." I want you to notice there are some hindrances tonight to the work of God. Amen. And I want to deal with them. And if you feel like I'm shooting at you, I am. And if you think that I'm pointing my finger directly to you, I am. That's exactly what I'm doing. And I've experienced everything that I'm talking about. Tonight I've experienced 95% of what I'm talking about in my own life, and I've been preaching now 35 years, and I've experienced a bitterness, ugliness, ungodliness, rudeness, crudeness, and now I'm all polished up and everything, and it's wonderful. But I remember doing a lot of things in the ministry that God wasn't in 1,000 miles of. Amen. And Jesus told the disciples one day, they came back and they was going to kill somebody, hurt somebody. And Jesus said, "You know not what spirit that you're of." And I believe somehow us. I'm not talking about that a liberal crowd that call themselves independent. I'm talking about us people who believe the Bible. I'm talking about people who believe the Bible. And I believe us who are against sin. And against the Bible. I believe somehow we've let another spirit come in. And, you know, it's dangerous now. Sometimes I tell my children, if two or three teachers come over and start talking, I said, y'all can be excused. You'll have to have your children. And now, if the missionaries come by, you'll have to be excused. You'll have to excuse your children because your children get hurt listening to preachers talk.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I remember the Leroy Dalrymple telling his son, he said, son, go in the other room. And the boy said, I want to stay in here and listen to the preaching talk. He said, no, you can't stay in here. Because, you see, preachers talk about one another. Amen. And they like to talk about what happened at the last meeting and how little the offering was.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you didn't deserve anything. And no more than you and I can preach, but we shouldn't have got nothing. Amen. Amen. I went into two preachers one time, and one of them was Brother Freddie Gage, and so if you don't believe this, ask Ronnie Sutton, he's with me. And we went in there, and these two preachers, one of them, he's dead now. He shot himself through the brain, killed him. Had to shoot three times to hit it, but he hit it. This guy's dead. And he was telling these preachers how that he had been up in a meeting, and they put him in two old maid's house, and both of them had the flu, and how he was scared to death he was going to get sick. I said, just a minute. I said, I've known you two guys for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And you're saved, and you're just two old outlaws, two old thieves, and stealing hubcaps and what have you. And you've been in jail every Saturday morning. You're in jail every Sunday morning. You're in jail. And now God lets you sleep in some Christian's house, and you're scared you're going to get a cold. We come a long ways, baby. We come a long ways. Amen. I want to tell you something. You don't deserve to sleep in people's house. Amen. You said, well, brother, they just put me in a place. You can't believe where they put me. They just had a three-quarter bed. Hey, I slept in a bed that wide, two of us, in a jail thing, and didn't have a mattress in it.
Oh,
it had a mattress, but it burned it up so well. I mean, it didn't have a mattress. It didn't have a pillow. It didn't have nothing. And it sure didn't have no comforts at home. Nobody's good enough if you want a cup of coffee. Amen. We're saved. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Amen. Now, what does God owe you? What does God owe you? He owes you a place in hell. That's where you belong. Amen. With your back broke. But you're saved tonight by the grace of God. And it's wonderful. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my mind. Send me away. Don't hinder me. And I believe that we can hinder the preaching of the gospel. I believe we can hinder our prayers. I believe in Galatians 5, verse 17, we can hinder the progress of the Spirit of God working in the church. But I want to preach tonight on some great hindrances in the work of God. I believe the greatest hindrance in the work of God today is an unfriendly ministry. An unfriendly ministry. I mean, we come at this time, and we're looking around, and see if there's anything around here that we disagree with. We check everybody's fingers, see if they're a Mason. I don't even let a Mason be a member of my church. I don't go around in your church checking everybody out, check everybody's haircut, check everything in the world. We know exactly where the hymn line is supposed to be. We don't know where hymn's at. What I said? We got an unfriendly ministry. When I got saved, Southern Baptist Church in California, then I believe that's about 36 years ago, them preachers come down there, and they were the conservatives, they were the cream of the crop. They started a new church out there in California. Those were some of the friendliest men I ever saw. They didn't believe like you, and I didn't have no conviction. And those men, they'd come by the house, and they'd stop by my house, and they'd leave some groceries and that. And I tell my wife, where in the world did these people come from? Yeah? There's a man, he lives, he might even be here tonight. I don't know, he might be right in this service. He was here last year. But I called a man, I said, sir, this man is down there in the valley. And I said, I'd like to move him. He's called me. I never met him, I don't know him. But I'm going to Chattanooga anyway. I've always kept an old truck and trailer, maybe to move somebody, haul something with it.
Yeah.
steal something, whatever. And
well, I always kept a truck in trailer. So I called this man. He said, well, I'll tell you, brother, would this man move down here to work in an army? And he said, those people over there are just not his kind, not mine or your kind. And he said, he's a good man. But he said, I'm going to tell you before you ever move him, he's been married before. I said, well, people have been married before need to be moved, don't they? You know, they got to stop. They got to be moved, don't they? I mean, they understand the movement. I mean, the poor sucker sitting in the middle of the road and ain't got nothing to eat and no place to live. And they told him to get off the property because it's time for a King James Bible. It looked like somebody moving. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on, you just be surprised some nuts I've met coming down the pike. Amen. I'm going to write a book one of these days, These Nuts That I've Met.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I've been telling my wife that 20 years. I've already got the logo on the front. It's a big boat and a big nut. Amen. I've already got it figured out. But it's an unfriendly ministry. I believe that the Lord had a ministry of help. I believe the Lord had a ministry of help. I believe the Lord had a ministry of hope.
Yeah.
I believe the Lord had a ministry of handout.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we ain't got no hope. We come over to Brother Horn. Bless God, over in our town ain't nobody getting saved. Of course, you ain't right with God.
Yeah.
It'll take you 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. But if you plant enough seed, honey, seeds are coming up.
Yeah.
And if you water enough tears, you're coming out. Billy Allen told you that preacher down in Mississippi. That's the worst church I knew of, and so I recommended him, Billy. He's been trying to get off the field. I recommend him. I thought I'd help him get off the field. Amen. Save the churches some money. I recommend him. I did it. You said that, I did it. Amen. I did it. I've been down in Mississippi, and none of people down there don't want to hear. Bless God, people sighing under you. I don't hear nothing you got to say. Amen. I just sit down at the front of the church and just look over the church Sunday morning, this Sunday morning, last Sunday night, and I just see children. Here they come. They're all over my back, all over the front of me. We just have a time down in front of the church. You said you a mean old wicked man. You never tell them kids that. No, sir. No, sir. Man, I tell him me a time, last year. Had 144 Mexican children. Amen. 35 of them from Mexico. We had a time, man.
Yeah.
Man, we shouted, we praised God. Some of them got saved. We have time. Hold the campground out there. Amen. Amen. They think I'm the most wonderful guy. It's free of charge. Help yourself. Amen. Unfriendly. Unfriendly ministry. I see preachers. I come up here today. I look at some of y'all. You belong to penitentiary. But you got you a suit. You see that suit?
Yeah.
Look
at
that. What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. A guy gave me that old Memphis, Tennessee. My wife said, don't look too good to me. I said, don't eat it. I looked at the tag, it's $795. And I drive that Lincoln and belong to somebody else down the road. And I said, I went to Penitentiary 3 times with a deal like this.
And you can't beat God.
And you think you're somebody.
Yeah.
You think you're somebody. Just an old nothing. God picked you up. Saved you. Saved something out of you. Psalms 131. David said, I'm not indicting matters too high for me. I meet a lot of preachers. They talk about things way too high for me. That's something out of your ballpark, honey. You said, no, Lord, what do you think? You know, you should think you couldn't think of no how. Why don't you start thinking about lost people, wicked people, unsaved people? Why don't you get your mind off the issues of America? And some young lady around here, I understand what she's talking about. Man, I helped build. And she said, Brother Jack, Mac Ford's place is closed. And Brother Fountain is in jail. I know that. I'm on a $40,000 bond. Man, come in there and say they're going to close every Christian school in this county. Maybe they just close up everything we have. Maybe we're going to the work of God. Maybe they just close up everything we have. Down in Mexico, you can't have no school.
Right.
You can't have no argument.
Right.
You can't have nothing. All you can do is preach on the street. That's all you can do. Now you can't preach on the street. Got to get your building, got to get inside the building,
And when you get the building built, you've got to give the paper to the government. And then if a Catholic jumps a rock, they have to put him in jail for a federal bill. And so the Mexican said, "That's wonderful. Thank God for giving them the bill."
Yeah.
He said, "I wouldn't do that." That's why God's got you up here doing nothing.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But there's an unfriendly ministry. It's unpleasant. An unfriendly ministry is an unpleasant. You ever go to church, you know, and the guy just talks about they closed this and the government did this, and you know how many babies they grind up in a meat grinder? You want me to tell you about somebody they grind up on Calvary?
Uh-huh.
I want to ask you a question. What did he do while they were doing?
Yeah.
Why, Brother Jack, he blistered her hide. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know it." I said, we're living in an unfriendly day, and it's an unpleasant day. You go to church, and you come outside, you feel like you need a bath.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
And people sitting in the pews whispering, "What's he doing here?
Yeah.
What's he doing here?
Uh-huh.
When did he get back?
Yeah.
I thought he's supposed to be a missionary, you dummy."
Yeah.
If you see anybody in the hospital, you see Brother Homer in the hospital, you say, "Well, bless God, here he is in the hospital. I thought he was supposed to be a Christian." I mean, why is he having to try to tell me about the church? Because he's sick, you fool.
Yeah.
And God sends them both home that need some help.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take my coat off.
Amen.
Then I'm going to turn the microphone off. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't even see it. Now I got to go home. Don't drop that on nowhere.
No.
Amen. I said it was an unpleasant ministry. You go in the homes of people. I mean, every day you have a camp meeting. I don't care. You have this conference. And if you're not careful before it's over, well, all you talk about is something unpleasant, something ungodly, something plumb out of your realm. You don't know what you're talking about. It's unpleasant. And then we notice here this unfriendly minister always is unprepared. Young preachers, preacher boy gets out of school. I met a man, he graduated down in Dr. Upman's here 4, 5, 6 years ago. And I said, where are you? I met him in South Louisiana, preacher meeting me and Brother Bill Allen a week ago. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Man, I took a church brother away." He said, "That's the stupidest thing I've done in my life." He said, "They ate me up, chewed me up, and spit me out." And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I got me a job." He said, "I just about throwed up my hands." I'm going to tell you something. You walk out of one of these schools and you think you're ready. You're not. I mean, God might lead you in. If you got sense enough to depend on God, somebody raise their hand on that and ask me. Say, "Brother Wood, why is it that God takes a young Mexican down the mission field and uses that man like we've seen him use some of them? I mean, run 200, you've seen them. Brother, you've been down with him last week. There's 60 saved down there. And Brother Wood, why does God use those young men?" Very simple. They listen to them old missionaries. And did you notice, Brother Jones, you was down there, they walk around washing each other's cars and shining each other's shoes. But you know what the preachers up here do?
I've been to Peter Upman's school. I've been on the back. Let me tell you about your manager,
though.
You don't know nothing about
it. Yeah.
I don't know
whether
you know about
who
checks.
What are you looking at?
Have you got this man? You said, Brother Wood. Well, some guy asked me, said, "Brother Wood, was that in this dispensation?" I said, "Man, who cares?"
No.
Hey, if you put faith in God, he'll step out of you.
He's a dispensationalist.
Oh, yeah.
I said, "What's that?" I looked it up in a dictionary.
Yeah.
He said, "Brother Wood, you've been preaching." Hey, man. I asked Earl Hughes one time, I said, "Earl, do you have any premillennials over there?" And he said, "We got some Presbyterians." You didn't have any earthly idea what we're talking about. Isn't it strange? The souls that's been saved on that old man's ministry. Lives that have been shaping up on that old man's ministry. He didn't know what the word meant. Furthermore, he didn't even care. He didn't go look it up in the dictionary. Unfriendly. So when a life, when a ministry becomes unpleasant and unprepared, the next thing you have is unproductive. And when it's unproductive, you must blame it on somebody. And so, if you're a missionary, it's got to be word for the world. If you're independent by yourself, it's got to be your wife. One woman said the other day to a preacher, she said, "I wonder why my husband run off with that woman. I've known that woman 20 years, and if I'd have been him, I'd have left 18 years and a half ago." I live no woman like that. Because, I mean, the Bible says, "I shall not kill," and I'd have killed her. Amen. That's right. The woman hated God, hated the ministry, hated the glory of God, hated the local church, hated everything. And now her husband's gone, and he's run off with another woman. And she's sitting beside the road weeping, saying, "Where is my husband gone?" It's unfriendly ministry.
Yeah,
unfriendly ministry. Well, I had about 200 things I want to say about that, but we better go on. There's a lot of issues and there's a lot of causes in America. And I will tell you, we're facing a lot of issues, but we're not getting a job done. I told God January 1st, I said, "Flip all the issues."
Yeah.
Flip all the, I ain't no compromiser, everybody knows that. I don't have any, I think that's the most immoral word in the dictionary. I don't have any problem with that. I pulled out of the nomination 30-something years ago, ain't never thought about going back. And my wife said, look what it says right here in the paper. And Dr. Pressler, a great judge in our city, a big leading Southern Baptist man, he said, "I want everybody to know that the modernists and the liberals have had the Southern Baptist for 25 years, and now we have it." I said, "Thank God he said what he said. I knew they had it, and I just want him to confirm it, and thank God." Somebody said, "Jimmy Swagger failed." I said, "If he failed, he ain't failed. He's been laying down. I've been preaching this for years. No, and he fall. Sorry, scoundrel.
That's right,
yeah. If I get to heaven, he's out, I'm going to leave. I'm on the wrong place." Amen. Help your head. Yeah. We've got issues and causes, but God confirms what some of these old men have said. You said, "Brother Wood, you know that they put this modernist, hey, that's what the old men said years ago." All we got tonight is a confirmation of what we've already heard years ago. Men like James Crumpton and Sheehan and Lee Robinson and Bob Jones and all these men, they told us where this is going. We watched them go there.
Amen.
I asked this man the other day, said, "Do you believe that there was an Adam and Eve head of a seminary?" He said, "I certainly don't." Let me tell you something about it. He said, "Really?" And you know what some liberals said? They said, "What does that make any difference?" Nothing. It doesn't make any difference at all whether there's an Adam and Eve or not. So see, if there wasn't no Adam, then there wasn't no fall of man. If there wasn't no fall of man, there ain't no need of atonement.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah.
If there ain't no Adam, what do you need Christ for?
Amen.
And that's what they're trying to do with it. They weren't trying to do away with Adam. They're trying to do with that blood atonement. That's what they hate, that blood atonement. They talk about the Lord Jesus. And some guy said, "They're just liberal. They're just liberal." Listen, when a man denies that my Lord was the Son of God, he's not a liberal. He's a notorious modernist, and he's headed to hell. He's going to hell, you know what I said? Well, they write in the paper. My wife said, "Boy, this is horrible, Jack." I said, "Thank God they wrote it. I've been saying it 25 years. They wrote it."
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody can read it. Ain't nobody listening to me, no how. Unfriendly. So when you go to church, there's a bunch of sour pussies sitting around. Have you heard? Wonder what them missionaries doing. I ain't got a letter from them in a month. Probably doing something for God. Why don't you leave them alone? Take them an offering.
Yeah.
You seen
so-and-so?
What's he doing? What you doing?
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
The issue is, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Amen. And then we're going to get off this unfriendly. And then some people are just belligerent. They walk out on a street corner. They stand on a street corner and say, "You bunch of whores. Why don't you get right with God?"
Yeah.
Why don't you, preacher?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, preacher.
Yeah.
Me and my wife walk down the street and you call her that. God kept you. Nobody else could.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was all for country. You wouldn't call my wife.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it took 27 doctors, 3 nurses just stopped to sleep.
Cars and all that stuff, and them boys wave that high.
How y'all doing?
Brother Jay sitting right there today. He asked the policeman, police right there, man. And Jay's brother, one time a guy was going to hit him, and Dale said, oh God, you know how Jay is now. Please don't let this guy hit Jay. But we don't want to scrape him up off his street, you know what I mean? Lord's going to be awful. But Jay's out there the other day, and he asked the policeman, said, are we breaking the law? And he said, no. And he said, well, or do we take care of ourselves, or do you take care of us? The guy said, baseball bats and what have you. Told me he couldn't preach. Thousands of people. See, everybody's got the right. I mean, Jesse Jackson, he's got his right. Everybody's got the right, but me and you, we ain't got no rights. And that's why Jesus said, if your right hand offends, he cut it off. Because he knew me and you wanted our rights. And you ain't got none. Because Jesus said, if you got any, cut it off. And if your right foot offended, it didn't say your left foot, it said your right foot. Cut it off. It said if your right eye offended, pluck it out. I mean, it's dangerous to have your rights. You get that? It's dangerous. So an unfriendly ministry brings on an untruthful message. And there's a conflicting sound going out from us today. I want to say this to you. God help you tonight. There's an untruthful message. An old Spaniard was down in Mexico the other day, about 70. Old preacher. Been over in Spain for years, preaching the gospel, saved over there. And he sat down and he looked at those Mexicans and he said, He said, I see what I'm talking about. He went back home. One of the old Mexican pastors and he said, Pastor, what did you see? He said, all these years in Spain, I've been preaching to those people's intellect. And he said, you Mexicans down here are preaching to their heart. And God is saving them. And we ain't getting nothing done. See, here's a man with a theological degree. But he went down there with a little country boy in the backside of nowhere with 200 people and learned something and went back to Spain to preach to the heart. Everybody go to Germany, and they say, well, you just don't understand these Germans. Brother Woods, you know, when you're preaching to Germans, you know, they're so intellectual. Now, I am, my mother, all of them, they're just German descent. Some of the dumbest people I ever knew were German. I mean, they'd miss a trump. They'd hang herself. I mean, you go down right now, and you say, they say, Mr. Emil hung his head. Fritz hung his head. Amen. You got that? Father hang yourself. This can't face reality. Let me tell you something. That German is just like me and you. He needs to be, his heart needs to be preached to for the message of Christ. And you can't reach his intellect because God's not trying to save his intellect. God is trying to save his soul. Amen. Thank you very much. I like that. I'm glad I said it. We have a confused message. We have a cheap message, if you please. And I'd like to say this. We have arranged us a clever message. This clever message. Over here, this fellow Jennings over here at this church over here. Brother Howells, he don't let nobody say nobody's name. But I read Mr. Jennings. I think Mr. Jennings and his wife need to get together. Mr. Jennings and Howland Park, he said, the damnable heresy of teaching the Lordship of Christ for salvation. His wife said in the back of the book, you've got to repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus to get saved. I said, they must be confused. Miss Jennings ought to be doing the preaching and this dummy ought to shut up. I don't believe in discipleship, salvation. I don't believe that. And when I got saved, everything wasn't going in my life. But the day I got saved, I come down and asked the Lord to come into my heart. And he took over. And from that day, he had him a throne room set up where he could work.
That's the lordship I believe.
Amen.
I want to say what Dan Havner said, and I heard him say it, and I was in the service when he said it. He said, we Baptists.
He said, I don't believe all that. I know it. You don't even know what you believe, and you don't know what I believe. But the night I came down there, Watchman Nee said he's got this Chinaman saved. He said, that Chinaman said, he said, now you're indwelled by the Spirit of God. Said he's inside. He said, he's the Lord. I said, if you'll listen to him, you won't get in any trouble. But Simon Lee started eating breakfast. I mean, he'd eat dinner the next day. He had a big jug of wine there, and he didn't get that wine. And he took his hand off her, and he said, let's pray. So Mr. Lee said, well, pray before we eat. There it is. He looked up, down the table, looked at his wine, bowed his head again. He said, the resident boss said, hey, take that wine off the table. You get that? The resident boss said, take it off the table. I don't care who he was. He's the Lord. And the Lord had access to this man's mind where he could speak to him and tell him what to do. And so what happened on that day that Chinaman got saved? Christ became his Lord. And some people tell me what I believe about the Lordship of Christ. All I believe about the Lordship of Christ is I know there's a time when the Spirit of God takes over a man's life and that man surrenders maybe everything to God. And, I don't know when that is, probably death.
Yeah.
Probably when the Catholic priest said in the last hokey spokey ring your ropes over you, amen. But I want to say tonight there's an unfruitful message going out tonight. And then there's many unscriptural messages. One of the greatest unscriptural messages is a non-offensive gospel. You know, I never noticed this till this week. I was preaching somewhere in the book of Matthew, and the disciples said, many are offended, Lord, at your word.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. Nobody gets saved unless they get offended.
Yeah.
I remember that soul winner touching me, old Whitmire hitting me on the shoulder. I said, shut up, leave me alone. I was busy in the church. I was lost. And he come back the next day and walked over two pews to get away from me. He said, Jackson, do you want to get away? I said, man, get away from me. He had a bow tie on. I hate bow ties.
Yeah.
I even hate people that wear them. I said, get away from me. Man, leave me alone. I mean, I just said, get away.
Yeah.
But I go home, and he was. He come down to my house, and he said, Jack, I didn't mean to offend you. But he said, you know, you're going to hell, and you're going to burn forever. I said, man, get off my house. Did you know I never knew a great soul winner that wasn't a real offensive person? I didn't say he tried to be offensive. I didn't say he tried to be ugly. But people get offended by that. With that confrontation of the gospel, they get offended. They don't like that. And I want to say this tonight, if you please. There's unscriptural methods. We have this social gospel. Oh, you'd look so wonderful in the choir. Well, she's half naked. She better not get in the choir.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, just get serious. Amen. And when we tell a businessman, man, you'd make a wonderful deacon. And he's living with two women, got an apartment rented across the street from the Chevrolet business. And how do you know all this?
Well, I got my head in the sand.
Some crazy things going on out there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We'll get out here in a minute. This world needs to see something, if you please.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Young, one of the big leaders of the Baptist City the other day, he said this. He said, this past year, our denomination took up $175 million. And he said, it's never been in the history of the world when so much accomplished so little as it did amongst us this year. Now, this is what he said. I'd like to say what he said, and so please don't get mad at me. He said there were 7,860 Southern Baptist churches never baptized nobody. Nobody. He said there was 9,600 baptized one person. He said that's half of the churches in the Southern Baptist. And he said, I want to tell you something. This is what Dr. Young said. I don't know the man. I know he's got a queer little French horn in his church, and he's got AIDS. But I know that. But I don't know nothing after that. But he claims to be a conservative. That's past tense on the queer. He died 3 days ago. And he told him he couldn't blow the horn no more in his church, and 36 of the choir members walked out. Because he had AIDS. Now, this is a... He said, here's what he said. He said, we had 16,000 and something churches, nearly 17,000 churches that only baptized a half a person per church. And he said, that doesn't have anything to do with whether we're conservative or what have you. He said, what it has to do with, he said, most Baptists today are unity in the faith. They don't believe that a man is lost and going to hell.
That's right. That's right. And they preach the gospel.
And he began to name each man's name, and they were right there present. Unscriptural methods. Now let me get down here. You don't mind this, do you? Short sermons, classic preachers. Hello, we're so glad to have you. You might not be glad. Put line.
Yeah.
I shook hands with a young man a Sunday morning. I said, how are you, sir? He said, I'll come to visit your church. He said, first time I've ever been here. I said, man, it's good to have you. Hope you got a blessing out of it. And he said, well, he said, I'll tell you, we're Southern Baptists. And I said, we're not.
Yeah.
And I don't know we were. But I said, they'll do. You'll turn right at the next stop sign and go down two blocks. I said, there's a church right there. And I said, I know the pastor very well. He's a nice fellow. And it'll probably be just what you're looking for. So he didn't come back Sunday night. You say, ain't you scared of losing him? Yes, you like losing polio. I'm really scared of him. This woman here said, he said, hinder me not. I got a job to do. Seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Are you listening to me? What is the problem, Brother Jack? It's an uninvolved church. An uninvolved church.
Yeah.
That's what's hindering us. We get up here and say we're missionaries. Bless God, we're going to go out and try to win the world. You said, that's in your home church. You've never been to Thursday night visitation, have you been there?
Yeah.
Amen.
And you don't even tithe.
You
said, I don't believe in that.
And
I figured you did. That's the way you bowed your head to pray that right quick.
Oh, yeah.
I believe a missionary ought to be the best church member that we got.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you this, Brother Danny Farley. I don't never remember Randy Everett ever even missing a Saturday night prayer meeting. I've never been. That's why he stayed 8.5 years, it'd be 9 years in Mormon land, with not a friend, not nobody to talk to or nothing, and be just a few days. And I told him for the last 7-8 years, Randy, come home and do deputation. He said, I ain't got time. Said, right out there. The boy stayed faithful to God. Get cold, we just fire him home, get him fired up in the camp meeting. An uninvolved membership. You're not involved in the church. There's a lot of people, just before they go to the field, they go join them some real good church. I'm going to tell you what Joe West said. Man came over one day and said, Brother West, I want to join your church. And he said, for what? He said, well, I believe everybody ought to be a member of a good church. And he said, I do, but I don't know whether God wants to be a member of mine. He's your pastor for many years. Brother Joe said to him, said, when you get off on the field and you get in trouble, you're going to call a mission board or me. He said, well, I'm going out under so-and-so mission board. He said, well, join them. He said, are you going to tithe to this church? He said, well, I don't believe in that. And Joe said, well, but you want to put your name on our church? If I'm not going to come and help your family, I'm going to be a blessing to y'all. And are you not going to be a blessing to us? Where's Brother Rudy at? Where's Brother Rudy at? He's right here. Brother Rudy mails a check to Shady Acres Baptist Church. The church member, Brother Rudy, verify this, about a $1,500 check comes every month to Shady Acres Baptist Church. Okay, so I wouldn't send a missionary across the moon to go involved in the mission for you. They don't want the church.
Amen.
I don't believe that.
Amen.
I just said, I might need some great men to come. But if a man doesn't have any burden, old Brother Joe tells him, I mean, every Thanksgiving day, that phone will ring. He said, preach, I'll pray you all week. He said, I tell you. He looks a little dark over here. He said, I believe God needs to be good. $75 this year, $100 this year. And the reward is that cut that money back, cut this back. And here we go. He was like,
One man said to him, said, I don't believe God's in that. But he won that. I died. God would be a kid for all of that. If he had money, he
had God.
Amen.
That's the truth.
He said, you let me drop dead. You let my woman drop dead. You let one of my children. He said, that pastor, you're playing the old age.
Exactly
right. Amen. He said, I'm a member of a local church. He said, furthermore, I got saved there some 12 years ago. And he said, they baptized me. I was called to preach there. I went to Bible school there. Hey, man! He said, that's home. You think I ain't going to send a few dollars home every now and then?
One time I went to the post office in a distant city. I'm going to send my wife $100 in a black man's hand. He said, man, he said, you send that child to folks too?
Oh. Amen. I said, sure I am.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. This man here said, hinder me not. He was not an unwise man. But we have some unwise things going on.
Word for the world, that guy wrote a letter here the other day. Brother Fulmer mentioned to me weeks ago. And he said, I've got five tapes to prove that Dr. Ruffin was lying. But, man, if you put nine tapes like that on me, my wife sure don't believe everything I say. I know none of y'all ever told a lie. I didn't do it deliberately. I just done it willfully. Yeah.
But if all you've got to do is go to a foreign land and straighten out the churches over here and the pastor over here, stay home.
Amen.
Why don't you take that money these churches give you and preach the gospel with?
I asked Dr. Ruffin personally the other day, I said, do you have any sense? He said, no. I said, thank you. You're the same boat. You're educated, don't have any. I'm uneducated, I don't have any.
But boy, you ought to see some of these monkeys we train. They are smart.
I mean, I've trained some of them a year. They already know twice as much as I do. Well, I mean, they catch on quick.
No more than I could teach them, and they know twice as much. If he knew 10 times much of me, honey, he couldn't get out the back door. Amen. Unwise men. Amen. Unwise men. There's ever been a day and age. It's right now. But listen, we need a hospital in every Baptist church in America. We need a hospital. I've seen some of these boys just come in shattered to pieces. One man said to me yesterday, he said, preacher, he said, 5 weeks ago from Virginia, he said, I just loaded my family and knew the only hope if I could just get to Shady Eagles Baptist Church. He said, preacher, I got a job today for $10 an hour over here painting. He said, preacher, I tell you the truth, I'm shattered. My mind is scattered. And he said, preacher, I'm just glad to be here in the hospital.
Amen.
There's no place to go.
Amen.
I'd build a hospital if I told you. There's some people here with shattered minds, shattered nerves. Some people didn't understand when they got saved, got called to preach. They didn't know all that's going to happen. A young man come to me the other day and he said, I took a church and said, I've been pastor there 4 months and said, they asked me to leave the church. He said, he had a big fight. Me and my wife stood there, an old drug addict got saved. He said, man, I didn't know Christians act like that. You know all he needed? He needed some old preacher to just take him in and sit him down for a year or two and teach him how to bite. Danny Farley stayed with me for years, and he learned one thing. He learned nothing else.
Yeah.
He learned how to bite.
Amen.
He said, Brother Jack, what's you going to do now? I said, fight.
Fight
and smile. Son, we have been through some battles. We have been through some battles. We're going to take over this church. This is our little church. We want this little church. One guy said, we was giving $150 a month to missions back then. He said, I tell you one thing, this church ain't never tried to do nothing it couldn't do. I said, that ain't faith. Faith is doing what you can't do. What God can do. My wife told me in the last 6 months, Shady Acre Baptist Church mailed out $60,000 for missions.
Amen.
In the last 6 months. $10,000 every month. Every month. I used to pump it and push it, and now it just flows.
Thank God. $3,100
You say, what are you? Are you bragging? Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, you ain't bragging when you state a fact. They gave it. I didn't. I didn't have it $2. I just give one. Amen. I seen a guy. I looked on the offer. The guy said $500 for mission.
We got $400 for mission.
$270 for mission.
You said they do that every week?
Yeah.
You said how do they do it? They reach in this pocket here and get it, and they reach in and put an offering plate. That's where you do it.
Yeah.
Good. Well, isn't that mysterious? Hey, let me teach you how to do that. Reach in this pocket. That's for them. They said, God, if you don't mind, it's empty. See it? Look, empty. Can you put some more in there? I'm reaching out again. But you know what you do? You get so busy, even some of your preachers, and you take it out of this pocket, and you put it in this pocket. And you take it out of this pocket, and you put it in this pocket. And finally, this pocket is empty, and this pocket is empty too. So Junior's taking it out of this pocket. You got that? Yeah. You go to sleep, and why? She's in this pocket. She don't never get in this pocket, because they ain't got nothing. Then you have to pray, Lord, fill up that pocket. He said, we ain't got no problem with a pocket. We got a problem with a hand. Now, which way are you going with it? You going out or are you going in? Yeah.
Ain't no problem with God.
Amen.
Well, Brother Bubba, you say all the time, say, God ain't got no problem with the giving. It's the channel he's got the problem with.
Yeah,
amen. Yeah. Amen. Unwise men. You know, we think we're going to entertain this crowd. We think you're going to have some kind of emotional binge. And I've had two or three of them in my life. Say, this man here was an unwise man. He said, don't take my sister for 10 days. He was speaking when God wasn't saying nothing. You want to miss God? Just start talking when God ain't said nothing to you. And start figuring out, what are we going to do about this certain situation? I waited and waited and waited on a situation. And a man told me the other day, he said, Brother Wood went lying. He said, why don't you deal with that situation? I said, well, it ain't time yet. Did you ever have any boils on your arm? You don't have them in this country. I used to have great big boils all in one. I get 17 to 18 on that. Now, what you do, you just sit there and watch it. And it just swells and swells and gets big. And finally, when it gets real big, you take a pin and say, whack! Woo! You got a way to get right. And it all come out. But I've seen some people pressing on.
Yeah.
Then they get another and come up where they bruised it.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking when God's speaking, and then a lot of times we're so busy working, Brother Greg, when he ain't waiting. And sometimes we're waiting when he ain't waiting. Sometimes we're walking when he ain't walking. Sometimes we're listening when he's coming off. Let me close. You said, thank God for that. Amen. Let me close. This unfriendly ministry is a hindrance to the work of God. This unfruitful message, this unscriptural, this uninvolved membership, it causes unstable minds. And I'm going to tell you something. Fundamental Baptists, they've got a lot of unstable minds.
Amen.
There are men in America that's got ministers of hurt and harm.
Yeah.
Listen, God wants us to have a ministry of hope and help. You listen?
Yeah.
God wants you to hurt somebody. If God wants to hurt them, He's well able. God wants to handle somebody, He can handle it in the morning. He don't need you, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Sometimes we go back in somebody, a young man. He's very ugly sometimes. And he's a young preacher, and he had a Brother Billy Allen. I was listening to him, and then he said he was talking about marriage and divorce, and he never experienced anything like that. God saved him. He's 16 years old, got in church, and God really blessed him, got a real talent to preach. But he said in the church where he's at, he said, you know, he'd just been real hard against some things. And he said, this lady came down and said, Pastor, you told me I couldn't divorce this man. So now him and his boyfriend has moved in the house, two homosexuals. And said, they've been following two of my little boys. What do I do now? And he looked very religiously and said, well, you can either shoot him or divorce him.
or you can divorce him and then shoot him, you know, whichever one you want to do. And we'll tell you something. That's exactly what a mother feels like doing with something like that. Huh?
Yeah.
And me and you do not have the answer to all the tragedies of the matter. But for God's sake, friend, don't jump on the poor sucker that's had a tragedy. Go jump on that wicked woman that he had that caused the tragedy.
Yeah.
Go jump on the wicked man that caused it. Leave that poor woman alone who somebody's run over her and hurt her. And she's laying in the dirt and her mind is gone and her children, she don't know what to do. And she needs a preacher. She needs a man of God. Now here in this town over there, a man is singing. He got to walk out. Church walk with him. Talk about when that boy was 16 years old, he got a divorce. The preacher asked him, he said, why did you get a walk on? He said, I don't listen to nobody who's been married before. God takes care of that. He said, why are you talking about this matter? I don't know. Maybe it'll help you. Hey, God, you listen to this thing.
Yeah.
I hope nothing ever happens to you. I hope you never have a tragedy. I hope you don't ever experience none of it.
Yeah.
But you better be careful trying to hurt people.
Yeah.
For some of the people are God's people and you hurt them, did you ever have anybody hurt one of your children? Huh? Did you ever have anybody to just get out of the car and hurt one of your children deliberately, hurt them? What did you feel like doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do? My mother was one of the sweetest old ladies. She went to heaven last year. And I never was good. Oh, she's just a sweet old lady. And she had two girls. Y'all heard Brother Rogers? That's one of them. Lila's the other. She works at my altar. And the lady across the street, she was a street walker. And she said something crazy about that. They wanted to about 11. They were about 13. And I see Mama dressed up like that. And really good about that door. And give her a little bit of that. Mama drove over the kitchen and said, what did you say about my girl?
Yeah.
And she said, come in. And she wrapped her dick. Her husband right there. And just as she started in, she went on and he heard something click. And he looked at my mother. And he had his hands in this part of his eyes that I would do this. You'll need you one of them guys. What do they call them guys? One of them. You'll need some cosmetic work done on you. You'll need your dermatologist to take care of you. I'm a God for wrapping you upside of your head. I've seen people just vicious, like a dog. Just vicious. Get a hold of God's feet. And I've seen God just killing me. I've seen God get in there killing me. I mean, just right quick. I don't know why Jesus said that, but he sure said it. He said it'd be better if you had a millstone tied around your neck and you sat off in the season, you'd spin on these little ones. Now, if Jesus said that, I wonder if he really meant it. You reckon he really meant you to keep your mouth off of his little children? Let that little preacher boy that you're loving. How long have you been saved? How long have you been preaching? How long have you been up on the kind of the victory side? How long has it been since you've been down in the valley? Where it looked like a tunnel. And both holes stopped up. You ever been there? God, man.
Rather going that long down in Mississippi. That nigga was up that hole. Got that kind of bag in my running behind the hole. He didn't know what he passed up. He didn't know. He said, who's dodging the hole? Who's dodging the hole? Little nigga said, that's
What you gonna do tonight? What you gonna do tonight? You gonna get you a ministry that's pleasant and friendly and reaching people of Christ? My wife said last night, I said, why did you let that man get in that pulpit? I said, because I wanted to. She said, he don't believe the students any better like you do. I said, I know he's sitting by here. I thought maybe he wanted to know something about it.
That's why I preach next.
Yeah,
I said, you got 15 minutes, son. He said, okay. He took 15 minutes and say nothing.
Turn off his iron hair. Well, been to college, been to seminary. I knew his mother and daddy when he went out as missionary 30 years ago. I took his Bible with him, and I said, that's an hour and a half, and showed that boy what God could do for him and what the Bible really meant. He said, well, what about this? And I said, what about this? He said, what about these here, his writings here? And I said, what about this right here? He said, well, you know, you don't believe in my title size word. I said, how about over here in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy? Is that not italicized? He said, yeah. I said, when Jesus quoted in 4th chapter of Matthew, is that italicized? He said, no. I said, you mean Jesus quoted italicized words? Oh, yeah. That's really strange, isn't it? And I said, you see something Dr. Doodle didn't tell you too.
Yeah.
You said, nobody going to preach in my pulpit.
That ain't your pulpit, cowboy. That pulpit belongs to God.
Well, some people we could help if we weren't in such a ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody help me. Brother Glenn Perez. Daddy said, what was that having in Santa Claus? He said, you know about that?
Yeah.
Four singers from my church, three left. They used to have a foursome, now they got a trio. I come had a trio. We had a talk in the office about 2 or 3 hours.
I felt definitely God wanted to come to see me about the church.
And just some help!
Yeah.
We can pick up some financial help. Pick up some help! And give some more help.
Uh-huh.
I want to run a hospital.
Yeah.
I'm not running a morgue. Did you ever go up in, y'all never do this, did y'all ever go up in one of them alleys down in the ghetto and find with them watching people cutting dead people up?
They take an arm off. Leg off. Boy, that's weird, man.
So crazy Mike Lawrence, one time he told his girl she was all filled up.
He said, let me take your home, show you 35 years off. And he took it, just this guy cut his whole arm off his foot.
And she just fainted like an apple. He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Baptist preachers cutting on the veil.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you something. People that work with them dead people, I said, honey, do you sleep in the next room? I pray that there's some of our wives feel that we're working on the day instead of trying to help the living.
Let's pray.
Amen. Let's pray. Well, Brother Billy Allen said, Lord have mercy. But folks, I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to get solid right down to it.
Yeah.
If we're going to ever become missionaries, there's going to have to be an attitude adjustment. And that's our sin of independence. I'm against everything God knows, but there are just some people come by me, and I just fellowship with them on what we do believe alike, and I'll leave them alone. Just fellowship with what we do believe. Quit trying to straighten everybody out. 10 years from now, half the sermons you got your form away and find out you wasn't even preaching the truth. You'd be surprised in 35 years the sermons that I've had to eat, burn, and get up on church and confess wasn't a bit of truth in it. Ah, you said, bless God, I got the Bible. Yeah, but you ain't got a Bible mind. You still walk around the flesh. Now, Father, rough and tough tonight, but Lord God, we know that Lord, these are God's people, and we come here to help them. And I pray the Spirit of God would move tonight back in the old church again, where we'd be friendly people.
Yeah.
walk out and see our neighbors and not in a word of criticism. And we look around us, Lord, and we know Jesus sometimes when he stood before the religious crowd, he blistered their hides. But Lord, there came a time when he preached to the unsaved and the fallen people. He wept and cried over them. He cried over Jerusalem. Many of the Pharisees were saved and put their trust in thee. God, speak to hearts tonight. Those who need to fall on this altar tonight and say, Lord, put me back in the old time way. Lord, make me a friendly pastor. Make me a friendly missionary.